There's Amen. Thank you, ladies. I appreciate that. And what a great blessing. Let's take the Word of God this morning. We will go to the Gospel according to John, John chapter number 17. John chapter 17. Once again, it is great to have all of you here. And if you are visiting with us today, thank you so much. And we pray that you will leave here having been blessed and encouraged by hearing the Word of God. And our greatest hope is for everyone to know Jesus Christ as their own personal Savior. And that is the most important thing in this world. We are in the book of John, chapter number 17. I do not know that I have studied or preached on something that has been more challenging for me as a pastor. And I labor in this, so you bear with me as we are looking at phrase by phrase, verse by verse, asking God to use it in our lives. John 17 is really the Lord's Prayer. Now, some people think of the Lord's Prayer as what was given on the Sermon on the Mount when the Lord Jesus, as He was speaking to His disciples, said to pray this way, "Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be Thy name, Thy kingdom come, Thy will be done." But that is a model prayer. It's not a prayer that Jesus could have ever prayed. Because a part of the what many people call the Lord's Prayer is a portion that says, "And forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors." Well, the Lord would have never prayed that because He was the sinless Son of God. But when we come to John chapter 17, this is the Lord's Prayer. It's the prayer that Christ prayed to His Heavenly Father right before He goes to the cross. It's the prayer, the Bible even tells us, that He lifts His eyes toward heaven. He could have prayed this prayer privately, but He prayed it publicly for the disciples to hear and for us to have before us. There is so much that we can learn about God and about His care and love for you and me in John chapter 17. And this morning, we're going to come to a phrase that is called life eternal. What does it mean to have eternal life? This morning I want to preach on this subject. This is life eternal. We come to John chapter 17. Let's just read the first 9 verses together, if you would please. And if you'll follow along silently as I read to you out loud. The Bible tells us in John 17 in verse 1, "These words spake Jesus, and lifted up His eyes to heaven, and said, Father, the hour is come. Glorify Thy Son, that Thy Son also may glorify Thee. As Thou hast given Him power over all flesh, that He should give," here's this phrase, "eternal life to as many as Thou hast given Him." Verse 3, "And this is life eternal, that they might know Thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom Thou hast sent. I have glorified Thee on the earth. I have finished the work which Thou gavest Me to do. And now, O Father, glorify Thou Me with Thine own self, with the glory which I had with Thee before the world was. I have manifested Thy name unto the men which Thou gavest Me out of the world. Thine they were, and Thou gavest them Me, and they have kept Thy word. Now they have known that all things whatsoever Thou hast given Me are of Thee. For I have given unto them the words which Thou gavest Me, and they have received them, and have known surely that I came out from Thee, and they have believed that Thou didst send Me. I pray for them. I pray not for the world, but for them which Thou hast given Me, for they are Thine." Now, when we come back to verse number 2 and 3, we find this phrase, eternal life, or in verse number 3, life eternal. You might even use the phrase everlasting life, which is the same thing. What does it mean to have everlasting life? What does it mean to have eternal life? Is that possible? You know, we live in a world today that is obsessed with living a long life. Now, I think all of us in here, including myself, we want to live a long life. In fact, you know, there's so many things today that if you eat this, it's probably going to kill you. And if you don't eat this, that's going to kill you. And things 10 years ago that were good for you are now bad for you. How many's ever understood that before? Yeah. You know, the things I ate as a kid now are going to kill you somehow. I'm glad I survived childhood, you know. And, you know, it's funny. My mom and dad, they used to talk about things that they would do. Now, boy, that's you can't do those things, you know. And things change, do they not? They kind of go back and forth on what is healthy and what is not healthy. I remember years ago that supposedly eggs were not healthy. I can tell you this, it's not healthy to buy them today, you know. There's definitely no doubt about that. But now eggs are healthy, you know. And some people think meat is not healthy, and yet meat is healthy. And there's all kinds of ideas about how to extend your life. But brother, can I tell you this? If you just live a long life here on earth and you do not know Jesus Christ as your Savior, you are just extending life here on earth so that you can spend eternity in a place called hell. You see, eternal life. Some people think, well, preacher, one day I'm a Christian, and one day when I die, I'm going to get eternal life. No, can I tell you something? If you're a child of God this morning, you already possess eternal life in Jesus Christ. Now, please understand today that every one of us here and everyone in the world today, no matter if they know Christ or they do not know Jesus Christ as their Savior, they are going to live forever somewhere. You see, brethren, we are going to live as long as God lives. And God has no beginning and He has no ending. He is the Alpha and Omega. He is the beginning and the end. God created you and me. He gave us life. And because we are created in the image of God, we will live forever somewhere. You say, no, wait a minute, preacher. We have deaths all the time. That's exactly right. In fact, even this week, we had deaths in our church, of loved ones in our church. Yes, we are going to leave this world physically through the door of death, but I am going to live forever either in heaven with Jesus or I will spend eternity in a place called hell. Brethren, to have eternal life means that you will live forever with the Lord Jesus Christ. So today, brethren, what life are you choosing? Years ago, when I was 17 years of age, when I lived in Knoxville, Tennessee, someone shared with me the gospel, the death, burial, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. They shared with me that I could not get to heaven on my own and that Jesus Christ was the only answer. And the fact the Bible tells us, as Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. It was only through Jesus Christ. And I remember that day that I bowed my head and I asked God to forgive me of my sin, for I knew that I was a sinner. And I recognized that Jesus was the only payment for my sin, that I could do nothing to save myself. I couldn't be baptized to get saved. I could not go to church to receive salvation. It was only through Jesus Christ. And can I tell you, on that day there in Knoxville, Tennessee, where I asked Jesus Christ to be my Savior, can I tell you what happened? At that moment, God gave me eternal life. Amen. Now, eternal life. Jesus here speaks about life eternal. And He specifically says in verse 3, and this is life eternal. This morning, that's what I'm going to preach, John. Eternal life in Christ. You may say this morning, well, preacher, I know Jesus Christ as my Savior. That's wonderful. And you may even say, well, pastor, I have eternal life. And yes, you do if you're a child of God. Then you may even say, well, preacher, what good is this message for me? I already have eternal life. Brethren, there is so much for us to understand about the joy and the privileges of eternal life. I don't want you to miss what the Lord is saying here in John chapter 17. I want you to notice some things. Number one, as we talk about eternal life, number one, eternal life is received. Now, that's very important to understand this morning, because eternal life is not earned. You know something? We kind of live with a philosophy of life in many ways to where we think we have to earn our way to certain things. In fact, there is something within the heart of every man and woman that they want to do something to gain entrance into heaven. I think everybody would say, well, preacher, when I die, if there is a heaven and if there is a hell, I definitely want to go to heaven. I do not want to spend eternity separated from God in a place called hell. I think most people would say that. But in order to go to heaven, in order to receive eternal life, there's lots of discussions about that. There's lots of misunderstandings about what it means to have eternal life. Well, first, eternal life is received. And brethren, the question that I have for you today is, do you have eternal life? Do you know that your last breath here on earth will be your first breath in heaven? Do you have eternal life? In fact, Romans 6:23 says this, "For the wages of sin is death." You know what that means? That means because we are sinners, and every person has sinned against a holy God. In fact, we have broken the Word of God. We have broken His law. No man can keep the law. Let's just take the Ten Commandments, for instance. Can anybody keep all of the Ten Commandments? No. I have never been able to keep all of the Ten Commandments, and neither have you. And the Bible says that if you have broken one of them, you have broken all of them. So the wages of sin is death. You know what death that is speaking of there? It is speaking of eternal death in hell. That's what we deserve. That's the payment for our sin. But here's the great news of Romans 6:23. It goes on to say, "But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord." It's the gift of God. Guess, can I tell you something about a gift? You don't earn a gift, you receive a gift. And here, we must understand that eternal life is not earned, it is not worked for, it is not attained, it is received by faith through Jesus Christ. That's it. It is a gift. I'm so grateful for the Lord's blessing in our church, and God's given us lots of different people, you know? We have a Christian school here, and I'm very thankful for our Christian school. And so often we have little kids that are in the office, and you know, some of them, if they do well on papers, or if they do well on a test, or they do good and they didn't, get in trouble too much in the week, especially the kindergarten, they get to go to the treasure box and earn, in a sense, a gift. Well, I think many people think that's how a gift is. We've got to earn that. If I do really good, then God is going to gift me with this. No, a gift is received. In fact, John 3, verse number 36 says, "He that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life. And he that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him." You see, brethren, when a person does not know Jesus Christ as their Savior, they are under the wrath of God. They are under the condemnation of God. But when they recognize that Jesus Christ is the only substitute for our sin debt, that Jesus is the only way to heaven, it is not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to His mercy, He has saved us. Brethren, you can do nothing to gain salvation. Eternal life is received by faith. In fact, eternal life begins in the believer the very moment he is born again into God's family. Now, that word born again seems like a strange phrase, does it not? In fact, in the book of John, we also find where Nicodemus heard that Jesus said that ye must be born again. In fact, unless you're born again, you cannot see the kingdom of heaven. And Nicodemus was pretty confused about that. He said, "Lord, am I to enter in once again to my mother's womb and to be born again?" And the Lord said, "No, You see, it is that we must be born again into God's family. And the only way that we can be born again into God's family is by receiving the gift of God through Jesus Christ. It is acknowledging that we are a sinner. It's acknowledging that Jesus is the only way. It is acknowledging that we cannot save ourselves. And when we repent of our sin and accept Jesus Christ as our Savior, we are born again into God's family and we receive eternal life. Now, please understand something today. Eternal life is received. Brethren, do you know that as a child of God, I have eternal life right now? In fact, you look at me today. Can I tell you something? I'm never going to die. You say, now, wait a minute, preacher. Do you know something we don't know? No, can I tell you? Yes, this body one day is going to perish. This body is going to stop living here on this earth today. But brethren, the Bible says in John 11:26, and whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Amen. Oh, listen, brethren, I'm going to live forever with Jesus Christ because that is eternal life. In fact, go back to John chapter 17, and I want you to look in verse number 2. He says, as thou hast given him power over all flesh, that he should give eternal life to as many as thou hast given him. Jesus is the only one that has power to give eternal life to you. You cannot give eternal life to yourself. You cannot earn it. You cannot work for it. You cannot attain it. It is only through Jesus Christ. Let's take our Bibles. You're there in John 17. Would you go back to John chapter number 5, please? John chapter number 5. Now, brethren, only Christ can give eternal life because he gave his life a ransom for all of us. We know the very purpose of God was to give his only begotten Son to this world. And Jesus came to this world. The world received him not. They wanted to get rid of Jesus. But the very purpose of God was so that Jesus would go to the cross and bleed and die on the cross for the sins of all mankind. By the way, Christ went on to say in John 17:4, he said, I have finished the work which thou gavest me to do. And can I tell you what that work was? It was the work of salvation. Jesus finished it. That means you don't add anything to it. It is complete. And when Jesus Christ was dying upon the cross, remember what he said? He said, it is finished. What's finished? The payment of sin in full. It is complete. We are thankful that we have the opportunity at Mechanicsburg Middle School to have a Bible club there. And last Friday, we had 80 young people show up at the Bible club. And what a blessing it is. God is continuing to do a work there. But the man that helps us with that Bible club is Mr. Moore. I call him Preacher Moore because he is a preacher. And he's such a blessing. And he was all stirred up last Friday. And he told me, he said, Preacher, he takes some of the food that we have. And we bring pizza. And he takes it to some of the ladies that are on staff there and all of that. And one of the ladies said to him, he asked them the question. He said, ma'am, do you have eternal life? You know what she said? Well, I'm working on it. I'm working on it. And you know, that just kind of stirred him up. He said, well, ma'am, you don't have to work on it because Jesus paid it all. It's finished. It is complete. There is nothing to add to it. But there's countless thousands of people in our world today that are working on it. Well, preacher, I'm trying to straighten my life up. I'm trying to get my act together. I'm going to get back into church and I'm going to start doing the right things. That's wonderful and that is commendable. And we should go to the house of God and we should live a life that is holy and separated unto the Lord. But brethren, we can do nothing to earn our eternal life in heaven. There's nothing we can do. In fact, John chapter 5, look in verse number 24. This is a fabulous passage that I want you to see. John 5:24, Jesus said here, verily, verily, that word means true, truly, truly, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life. Now look at it again. This is such a powerful verse. Jesus said, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word." Now Christ was not saying just someone that hears. No, it's someone that hears with understanding. How many has been guilty of hearing someone, but you really didn't hear them? Would you lift your hand and hold it up high? Every husband should raise his hand in church, all right? You know what I'm talking about. My wife said to me recently, I asked her a question. She said, "Honey, I already answered that a few minutes ago." "You did?" "Yes." I'm like, "Well, yeah, I think I remember you saying something, but I didn't hear you." You know what I'm saying? We all have done that. But this is not saying, "I've just heard it with my ears." No, I've heard it because I want to listen. I want to receive it. And I'm accepting your words. "He that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me." Brethren, can I tell you something? That is it for salvation. You hear the word of God and you believe. Now, believing that there is a God is very different than believing on God. The devil believes there's a God. The devil knows that there is a God. But when we believe in him and upon him, we are saying he is the only way to salvation. I believe that God gave his only begotten son, and Jesus Christ is the only answer for the penalty and the payment of my sins. He hath everlasting life and shall not come into condemnation. But look at this, is passed from death unto life. Do you know something? Without Jesus Christ, you are dead in your sins. You're dead in your sin. There is no life in you. But when you put your faith and trust in Jesus, can I tell you what happens? You are passed from death unto life. That is eternal life. So eternal life is received. But number two, I want you to notice this. Eternal life comes with responsibilities. Now you say, "Now wait a minute, preacher. Now wait a minute. You just told us that eternal life is a gift. It is received by faith. And now you're telling us we have responsibilities." Well, brethren, it is not that we are responsible to earn our salvation, but because I am a child of God. Can I tell you what that means? I have responsibilities before the Lord. Let me give it to you this way. I am a son to my mom and dad who still live in Knoxville, Tennessee. And when I was being raised in their home, there could be nothing could be done to change the fact that I was my mom and dad's son. I was born to them. I mean, part of my, life and history and DNA is wrapped up in them. We understand that. But brethren, can I tell you something? As a son, I had responsibilities as a son. I mean, there was mowing the grass, there was cleaning the room. That often meant putting everything under the bed or in the closet or whatever it may be. That there was responsibilities. It was a privilege to be a part of a family, but that came with responsibilities. But brethren, today, if you have eternal life, which is received by faith through Jesus Christ, then God has commissioned you. God has called you. And you have responsibilities before him. Go back to John chapter 17. And I want you to see this morning. John 17. And let's notice what the Bible says. Let's go back to verse number 2. Brethren, after you receive Jesus Christ as your Savior, then you are to grow as a Christian. That is a part of us. Look what it says in verse number 2. As thou hast given him power over all flesh, that he should give eternal life to as many as thou hast given him. It's a gift from God. Eternal life is received. But look in verse 3. And this is life eternal, that they might know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ whom thou hast sent. Brethren, do you understand that we have responsibilities? Now, first responsibility in this eternal life is that we might know God. And you say, "Well, preacher, what are you meaning today?" For instance, I know things about maybe different people that maybe I have never met. There are people that I have studied their life, maybe great missionaries or great preachers. I know a lot about them, but I don't know them. I've never met them. I've never talked to them. I don't really know them. The word here that is given in verse number 3, that they might know thee, this is an intimate word of knowing someone. For instance, when my wife and I, when we first met, I had heard a lot about her. I had talked to her friends about her and all of that. I wanted to get to know this person, but I could only get to know her by talking with her, listening to her, and spending time with her. And can I tell you something? After now 26 years of being married, I feel like there is still much for us to learn about one another, for us to know about one another. Marriage is a continual journey of knowing and loving and forgiving and accepting one another. It's a continual journey. But brethren, the Christian life, we have responsibilities. God has given you eternal life so that you may know Him, that you may have fellowship with Him, that you may walk with Him, that you may have the joy of life in knowing God. Amen. Brethren, if you have eternal life today, can I tell you, because you have eternal life, that means you can know God. You can talk to God, and He will hear your prayer, and you can read His Word, and He will speak to your heart. You can come to church and have the fellowship of God's people because you're a part of the family of God. You know, our family, I love when my wife and I and our three children are all together. There's something very special about that, and that's getting ready to change very soon. In fact, it's already changed, and our daughter teaches in Virginia at a Christian school, and our son Caleb is getting ready to graduate college and then get married in July. And Joshua's graduating high school, and it's all fragmenting, you know. And you parents, some of you know what that is like. We're going to go on vacation this summer together, and I look forward to just being together as a family. You know what? When we're together as a family, we know one another. Usually my boys bring up things about their sister that they laugh about, all right? You know how that works. They joke about that. And we talk about things in the past. And we laugh about things. We have, as families, you know how it is. You kind of have those inside jokes. You know what I'm talking about? You just make a statement and everybody in the family knows exactly what you're talking about. And you laugh about it. Why? Because you know one another. There is something wonderful. There is something glorious about having a friendship with someone and having that fellowship. Brethren, today, if you know Jesus Christ as your Savior, God has gifted you eternal life. And that comes with the privilege, the opportunity, but the responsibility to know God and to walk with God day by day, to abide in Him and to have fellowship with Him. There is the privilege that we have and the responsibility of knowing God. Oh, brethren, what a privilege we have. You see, eternal life is an eternal discovery of God. God, there is no limit to knowing God. Brethren, you can read the Bible. I mean, you can read it 4 or 5 times a year, and you'll never exhaust the Word of God because this is God's book. You're never going to exhaust it. That is getting to know God. I'm afraid that some Christians have become very stagnant in their Christian life. They become very complacent. They think they know enough about God. They don't need to know God anymore. They have come to an understanding of God. Brethren, we ought to continue on this journey of getting in His Word and letting His Word get in our heart and hearing the Word of God and believing the Word of God, because that is our responsibility. That is one responsibility, that we might know God. Do you know Him? And by the way, I want to ask you a question today. People may talk about what you are doing with your life. I mean, you know, that's kind of a big question. Maybe someone hasn't seen you for a while. They might say, well, what you've been doing with your life? But the question I want to ask you today is, what are you doing with your eternal life? Not just your life that is going to end one day here on earth, but brethren, what are you doing with your eternal life? Are you knowing the God of heaven? Because that is one of the blessed privileges of eternal life, is that we get to know God. I get to be in fellowship with God. And brethren, there is no joy on earth like the joy of the fellowship of your Heavenly Father. Do you know that God's created you to know Him? In fact, brethren, if there's something missing in your life, I'll tell you what it is. It's that you don't know God. Now, if you don't know Jesus Christ as your Savior, you're dead in your trespasses and sin. You're under the wrath and condemnation of God. But thanks be unto God for His unspeakable gift that God gave His only begotten Son because He loves you and cares for you. And He wants you to receive salvation. But it doesn't stop there. Eternal life is that we might know God. Now take your Bibles. You're there in John. Go to 1 John chapter number 1. Almost at the very end of the Bible, we come to 1 John, which is also written by the Apostle John that we are in, John chapter 17. 1 John chapter number 1. Now here is something you must understand today. Eternal life comes with the responsibility that we might know God, but let me give you the second one, that we might manifest God. Do you know that because I have eternal life and I received it by the gift of God through Jesus Christ, that now God holds me responsible to share the only way to eternal life to others? I have that responsibility, but child of God, you have that responsibility. 1 John chapter number 1, let's begin in verse number 1. The Bible says, that which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon, and our hands have handled of the word of life. For the life was manifested, and we have seen it, and bear witness, look at this, and show unto you that eternal life, which was with the Father, and was manifested unto us, that which we have seen and heard, declare we unto you, that ye also may have fellowship with us. And truly our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ. And these things write we unto you, that your joy may be full. Now listen to me closely. All of us want our joy to be full. We want joy. But you know that the context of 1 John chapter number 1 is that your joy cannot be full unless you know the fellowship of your Father and unless you are declaring what has been given to you. Do you know what I'm supposed to be doing? I'm supposed to be telling others that eternal life is only found in Jesus Christ. And can I tell you something? There is no joy like telling others that Jesus Christ is the only way. Amen. I'll tell you this. The Bible Club, I love the Bible Club that we get to have. I tell you, you know what? If you can be a little discouraged and go to the Bible Club and be greatly encouraged, you know? Those kids come in there, 6th, 7th, and 8th graders. And it's a voluntary thing, but they come and listen so very well. We have seen countless of them trust Jesus Christ as their Savior and receive eternal life. It has been such a joy. And brethren, there is no joy on earth like the joy of fellowship with my Heavenly Father and the joy of bringing others into fellowship with their Heavenly Father. There's no joy like that. Is there any greater joy than that I am responsible to declare? In fact, look what it says back in 1 John. Look what it says in verse 3. That which we have seen and heard, declare we unto you. By the way, have you ever maybe gone to some place before? Maybe it be a restaurant or maybe it be some store. And boy, you eat there and you're so excited about it. You want to share it with other people. You want to declare it unto others because, hey, you need to go to this place. Man, you're going to love this place. I'm glad when people do that with our church. Hey, you ought to come to our church. Boy, our church, we got a great group of people there, people that love the Lord and love one another. You need to come and visit our church. You know what you're doing? You're declaring what you've seen and heard. But here's the truth. Brethren, if you do not walk with God, if you do not know God, how are you going to declare to others what you have not seen and what you have not heard? Brethren, when I have been in His presence and I have walked with Him, and He has spoken to my heart. He has comforted me with His presence. He has comforted me with His love and His mercy and His grace and goodness. I want to tell others about this Savior. But I'm afraid there are people of God who they know eternal life, but there is no joy about their eternal life. You see, we have responsibilities to know God and to make Him known. Number three, the last thing today. Not only is eternal life received, it's received by faith. And not only does eternal life come with responsibilities. Number three, eternal life should be realized. Now you say, now preacher, what do you mean by that? I believe there are many Christians that do not realize what they have in Jesus Christ. They don't know it. You've heard stories before of maybe people that have, you know, had something very valuable in their home, and maybe they mistreat that valuable item because they didn't know it was valuable, or maybe they got rid of it, or maybe they sold it for what it was not worth because they did not realize its value. Brethren, I'm afraid that many of us are going to leave this earth and we didn't realize what we had. In fact, is it not true that you're often not thankful for something until you no longer have the privilege of that? I mean, often we're not thankful to be able to hear when you can no longer hear. Often we're not thankful that we can see until maybe your sight is not what it used to be. Maybe you're not thankful that you can walk until you cannot walk anymore. And I'm afraid that many of God's people are going to live on this earth and they are going to die. And yes, they have life eternal, but they did not realize the privileges and the opportunities that they had in Jesus Christ. That is eternal life, to realize what we have in Christ. Brethren, the devil is ever busy to stand between us and a full realization of what God intended for us in Jesus Christ. Listen, the Lord did not just save you and then expect you to kind of muddle through life. That's not what He saved you for. Listen, He saved you so that you would spend eternity in heaven, but He saved you so that here on earth you can know joy, you can know victory, you can realize what you have in Jesus Christ. Oh, brethren, do we see it? Do we understand it? I believe the devil fights and he thwarts us and he dulls our understanding to the greatness of our eternal life in Jesus Christ. It is great that we have eternal life in Christ, but do we know what we really have? Do we recognize what we have in Christ? Brethren, if you could see your salvation from the eyes of God, you would be so grateful, you would be so thankful because of what it costs God to give His Son to bring eternal life to you and me. Brethren, I believe that really we should focus on coming to understand what we really have in Jesus Christ. You get to know God. You get to have fellowship with an eternal God, the God who created the heavens and the earth. That's what you get to do. Brethren, by the way, do you know that we can live here on this earth and we do not have to live in defeat? We do not have to live under the bondage of sin. Now, that does not mean that we will live here on earth without any sin. None of us, including your pastor, is sinless. I still struggle as you struggle day by day. But I'm thankful to God that I have in Christ, I can confess my sin and He is faithful and just to forgive me of my sin and to cleanse me from all unrighteousness. But brethren, do you realize what you have? I see people all the time that are not able to come to our church anymore. You know what they say to me? Preacher, I sure miss being in church. I sure miss it. Could it be that maybe we didn't realize what a joy and a privilege that we had to be able to come to the house of God? Maybe one day when you cannot read the Bible anymore, you'll recognize and realize what a privilege it was to get into God's Word and to hide the Word of God in your heart. Brethren, eternal life should be realized. Listen, there is more that God wants you to know of Him. There is a deeper understanding of Jesus that He wants you to come into that. And that is what eternal life, it's not just to save us from the penalty of our sin in hell. It is more than that. That's why Jesus says, and this is life eternal, that they might know the true and living God. Brethren, today, I want to ask you a question. Do you have eternal life? If you answer, preacher, I'm working on it, then you do not have eternal life. If you say, Pastor, I hope so, or Pastor, my parents were good people and I grew up in church, do you personally have eternal life? And then the second question I have for you today is, do you realize what you have in your eternal life in Christ? Do you recognize it? Do you realize that, listen, we should be the most grateful people on the face of the earth. We should live with joy. We should live with victory. And others should see in our lives that we have the greatest thing of all, and that is eternal life in Christ. Brethren, if you're here today and you do not know Jesus as your Savior, you do not know where you would go if you died this morning, then I plead with you and beg of you, turn to Jesus in faith. In fact, Christ said, Him that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out. Listen, if you turn to Jesus and you ask for Him to give you eternal life, He's promised to give you eternal life. Believe on Him. Trust in Him this very moment. But if you're a child of God today, do you realize what you have? You have responsibilities of eternal life to know God and to make Him known and recognize what you have in Christ. In fact, you know what the Bible tells us? We are more than conquerors through Him that loved us. Brethren, I'm a conqueror today because I'm in Jesus Christ. I'm also an ambassador today because I'm in Jesus Christ. I'm under no condemnation today because I'm in Jesus Christ. I have the privilege of prayer. I have the privilege to know God. That's what we have in Christ. Let's realize it. This is life eternal. Let's bow our heads in prayer this morning.